Flanagan Bay Area Fishing Report starts now.
Good morning, top of the morning to you. It's Real Rock J96. Trevor Ray with you. I am here until 10 o'clock. But this morning from 6 till 7, joining me as he does each and every Tuesday morning, Scott Breading with River Rock Inn and Bait Shop. Good morning, Scott. How are you doing today?
Good, Trevor. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. It is another foggy morning out there. Doesn't look as bad as it was early this morning, but it is another cool, crisp, beautiful day in northern Wisconsin.
Well, you know, of course it's foggy. It's a day that I'm going to go fishing, and you know, it's going to be foggy for the first part of the morning. But we're gonna get fog burned off, and it's going to be a beautiful day on the water. So I'm going to try to get out there and catch a few lake trout, see if we can find some browns, and we'll give a good report when we come back next week. But I'm going to get out there. Got a few guys joining me today, and a friend from down in Louisiana. See if we can get him on some fish. Local that left about 40 years ago, and he comes up every summer. So we're going to get Jimmy on some fish, hopefully today, and have a little fun out on the lake.
Where are you going on the lake?
Well, we'll probably start out on the flats, the South Channel. And get out there and see if we can find some lake trout. And he's looking for some smokers, so we'll see what we can find. And then maybe we'll head out backside of Stockton Island over towards Oak Island maybe, and maybe find some browns over there and maybe even a few coho. So we'll see what's hanging around. We're just out seeing what's going on. There's been a few small bug hatches. Everybody that's been out there catching, saying they're pulling up fish full of bugs. So the bug hatch is on. Hopefully the flies aren't too bad yet, or the gnats. There's not supposed to be much of a wind today, so the fog's going to linger on a little bit this morning, I'm sure. So it's not going to... Well, if the sun comes out, it'll burn it off, but the wind, it's kind of... Just a little bit of a breeze will push it off a little quicker, but it'll be there for a little bit. That's what you have some of that electronics for. GPS and radar is kind of nice to have. So crank that stuff up this morning. We'll get our eyes out in front of us, and we'll hopefully get out there on the water. We're going to leave the dock probably 7 o'clock sharp, so I'm going to run out of here right after the show.
Well, I was going to say, because last week you were talking about how you're going to start wearing your Hawaiian shirts in, shorts, and flip-flops, and you're dressed the part today. You're going to go fishing all day today.
Yep. I'm out there fishing today. I told the guys at the bait shop today, and I begged Michelle to say, hey, you're holding on the fort, so I'll see you when I get back. The phone will be ringing, I'm sure, with a lot of questions, but we'll work through it. We always do.
That's all you can do. This is a big week, 4th of July week this week. Have you seen a lot of people coming up at all? Have you seen people moving in already for the week?
It's been very busy. It's been good. People going every direction, inland fishing, camping. It's just been a good all around. A lot of visitors, a lot of fun. So, it's going to be a good week, it looks like, weather-wise. The bugs aren't all that bad with all the moisture we've had. Sure, at night, you're going to need to be in your screen tents, I think, or put on that bug spray, get around the campfire. But that's not a bad thing. Bugs, the fish need to eat. And that's what their main appetite is eating those bugs. So, and I'm sure down in the rivers, there's going to be a hex hatch, I'm sure, down on the White River. So those guys are down there with their lanterns on their heads and hitting that river hard. It's going to be a little bit high, I bet, with this recent heavy rain we had go through this last weekend. So it's going to be a little tough. but you know, it'll save a few fish for tomorrow. It'll be kind of interesting for them, but you know, those guys are used to that, so they find the quiet water and hit that hard too. You know, it's just a different challenge with the changes of that thunder and lightning kind of drives them into the deeper holes and changes the patterns, but it's just getting out there. So that's what fishing's all about, is getting out there and enjoying the nice weather. Clear evenings lately. It's been just kind of fun to get out fishing. Talking to the people that have been out fishing, it's just been very productive lately. So we're going to talk to Josh Teagan in a little while here. Josh has been out. Josh is probably one of the busiest guys I know. He does a lot of doubles for guiding, where he'll take out a group, fish in the morning, and get another group to fish in the evening. And there's not many guides out there that do that.
He's putting 16 hours a day on the lake.
Yeah, yeah. And he does that all summer long. And he enjoys it. And the guy's got a smile on his face all the time.
Well, last time we talked to him, he was talking about how they brought in, what, 50 smallmouth in an afternoon?
Yeah, yeah. So we'll be checking in with him later on this morning, and he'll give us a good update of what's going on with out here on the bay and what's been going on the inland lakes. And he'll have a good story, I'm sure, for muskies. He's chasing those muskies all the time, too. So he'll give us a good update on that. He's probably even hit some of the streams. We'll see what's going on there, too, with Josh. So he'll give us a good update on what's going on there.
Yeah, so it's we got a busy morning ahead of us here on the Shawmigan Bay Fishing Report. Scott, you mentioned already the bug hatch that's happening. Are we late with the bug hatch?
We're catching up. We're catching back up. You know, we get these warmer evenings. It sets it off pretty quick. So that the temperatures are right for that, and these evenings where they're nice and warm, it doesn't take long, and it sets those bug hatches off. And it unfortunately slows down the fishing because you're competing with that. So, you know, you got to switch it up. You got to switch up your colors. You got to switch up your baits. It's not that, the fish are engorged sometimes and they're turned off because they're full too. So they're not eating. Sometimes you got to entice them with something a little bit different, but they have cycles. When they're feeding and you get the right bait in front of them, they're going to take your bait just as well as they're going to take that live bug as well. So just got to entice them with the right thing.
And changing up the baits with the bug hatch, do you change what you throw out there?
All the time. And, you know, like this morning, I'll be out there trolling, and I will have a spattering of different colors out there. And sure, when I got one fish on, I'm going to switch two baits or three baits to that color, and I'm going to migrate towards that color. And if things start to slow down, I'm going to start changing colors and switching different colors and also changing depths. But I'm always going to go back to where I've caught that fish, because this time of year fish are schooled up, so you're going to go back to where you're catching the fish, because they're in where the bait is. And whether it's bait fish or bugs that they're eating on, that's where the concentration is, and you're going to go back where the concentration of fish are.
I had a friend of mine over in northern Minnesota. We'd go fishing, and he changed baits every five to seven casts. He was flipping baits, and so by the end of the day, his boat, the whole front end of the boat where he'd be fishing, he'd have a stack of lures up to his knee. Is that how fast you change, Scott, when you go out there every four, five, six casts? It's a little bit different when you're trolling. But how fast are you changing those baits out?
You know, I can change baits out sometimes. I'll change baits out if you're seeing fish. Sometimes you're going to change baits out if you're seeing fish every 15 to 20 minutes. depending on what, you know, how many baits you got out and how many people I have on the boat if I'm trolling. But if you're casting, there's guys that are casting baits. If they throw it 3-4 times and they see fish out there, they're sight fishing, especially for bass. If they're sight fishing and they're not enticing what's out there, they throw it 3-4 times, they're changing that bait. After 3-4 times, they're changing it to a different color because they know what's out there is not interested. They're going to change it to a different color or different style. So they're changing it up, and that's what it's all about.
Have to be able to adapt quickly, especially out on the big lake.
Exactly. You got to adapt. You got to adapt and change it up quick.
So we got Josh Deegan coming up here in just a few minutes on the Schwamigan Bay Fishing Report. That'll be coming up next.
Welcome back. Joining us now, we have Josh Deegan. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Good. Good morning. How are you?
Morning, so, where are you heading today, Josh?
Today I will be back on Schwamigan. Not till the afternoon. I got an afternoon, evening trip out there. So, getting some stuff caught up this morning and then heading out there.
So, we woke you up a little early this morning then.
Oh, no. I'm up. I got stuff to do, so.
That's not like you, not to have two trips booked and half your day already in.
I know. Usually I'm just about to launch right now.
Exactly. Holy cow. I'm feeling kind of special today. Yeah. You know, you've been a busy guy. I mean, last time I was talking to you, you had several doubles booked, and you were going on, I think about 15 days straight of doubles. So,
yeah. June was a busy month, that's for sure. And we had great weather, which helped too. You know, I didn't have to cancel any trips. It was a good month.
Well, we've had some dandy storms go through the past couple of days. Did you lose out on any trips the past couple of days, or were you able to work around the weather?
No, I lost out on a couple trips yesterday and the day before.
Yeah.
Because of the weather. I had morning trips, but I got a couple afternoon ones in. But, yeah, we had a lot of rain, a lot of storms, a lot of wind.
Well, you gotta use caution when you have that, especially when you get the lightning out there. You can't be on the water.
Yeah, you don't want to mess around with that, that's for sure.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit of what you've been up to.
So I've mainly been fishing bass and walleyes on Schwamigan. The fish are finally starting to move a little deeper. You know, there's still a few fish in the shallows, you know, in Cahcaga and Sandcut, but most of them are starting to work their way out. You know, I'm concentrating on that 10 to 12 feet of water. You know, especially with the rain we've had the past few days, you know, it's getting a little dirty up in the shallows. So I think that's going to push the main concentration of fish out. Kind of focusing on weeds. You know, wood, 10 to 12 feet.
So the top water season was very short-lived then, is what happened.
Yeah, it didn't last very long, you know, a couple weeks. I mean, we're still getting a few up shallow on top water, but not as many. You know, I really didn't see a great top water bite this spring. Generally, you know, you have a couple weeks where you can, you know, catch a lot of fish on top waters, but you know, we had a few days where we were catching, you know, maybe 10 to 12, but the windows were kind of short, you know, early in the morning or right before dark. For some reason this year, we didn't get them all day on top waters, which is kind of fun, but every day is different.
Yeah. So have you been doing much inland on the muskies?
I haven't been for muskies, no. I've been doing a lot of crappies. Inland crappies, bluegills, that bite's actually been really good. A lot of crappies. That's really taken off here the past couple of years. You know, the pike chain to Macaughan, a lot of the smaller lakes around Drummond have been really good this year. Good average size, you know, 9 to 11 inches, and then we've been getting some nice ones too, up to 14. So it's been a good spring for them.
How about you still hitting a lot of big northern too on in the inlands?
Yep. Still getting some nice ones. You know, we haven't had any near 40 yet, but, you know, quite a few 30 to 35 inchers. You know, same thing out on the bay. We've been getting into a few mid-30s out there. So it's been a good spring for them.
Have you been targeting some of the northern on the bay?
No, I haven't yet. I know we talked about that last time. I need to do that.
Yeah.
There's some big ones out there.
Yeah. Have you been doing any of the stream fishing?
No, I haven't. I did quite a bit in April, you know, on the Brule, but I haven't been back since. You know, once the steelhead move out of there, then I kind of leave it alone until September when you get the browns to come back in along with the cohos and the steelhead. But I know a few of my buddies were out fishing the upper parts of the Brule, and they did pretty good on, you know, brookies and some smaller browns. I know that's always fun to do with ultralights.
Yep. So, they're in there throwing spinners and growlers and chasing the browns.
Yep.
A lot of fun.
Drifting downstream. Yeah, that is a lot of fun.
Yeah. So you've been doing the bay and hitting the bass and deeper water. Yep. Weed patterns are coming up.
Yep. Weed patterns are coming up. You know, the weeds are growing pretty good. You know, we're finding them scattered in cabbage. It seems like you got to run and gun to find them. I mean, you'll get, you know, four or five in one spot, and then you got to move to the next and catch four or five more. You know, just got to keep moving. And we've been picking up some walleyes too, you know, while casting for bass, which is cool to see on some deeper diving crankbaits. But then, you know, any day now, those fish are probably going to be in their summer areas, you know, out in that 15 to 20 feet of water. They're definitely moving out there now. The water's warming up. You know, it's been so warm lately. So they'll be in their summer patterns any day.
How warm is that water, Josh?
The other day I had 65. Up in the shallows, it's over 70 now. You know, but then you have a few cool mornings and it cools down a little bit into the high 60s. But by midday in the shallows, it's getting up to 70. So, but in that deeper water, you know, out in the middle of the bay, it's anywhere from 62 to 65 right now.
The weather that we've had, we've had some fronts coming through. We've had warm, hot weather. How's that affected everything out on the bay?
It stirred it up a little bit. You know, I was out there Sunday afternoon after we had that big storm come through, and you know, the sage was really rocking. You know, the water level would drop a foot, and then, you know, an hour later it'd be up a foot. It was just going back and forth. And, you know, when you're in the shallows, that really stirs it up. You know, that water is flushing in and out of there constantly, and it kind of makes the bite a little tougher. And I think that's why a lot of those fish have moved out deeper, you know, where it's not as bad out there and doesn't stir the water up as bad. But, yeah, the fronts have been pretty crazy the past couple days.
So have you been mostly targeting the smallmouth?
Yeah, mostly smallmouth. You know, I have had a few walleye trips lately, one on the bay and a couple on the St. Louis River over in Superior Duluth. So mostly bass, though.
And what have you been using? So how are you going to get those fish if they're starting to move to their summer locations?
That's when I started using deeper diving crankbaits. You know, flicker minnows, flicker shads have been good for the walleyes, a few bass on them too. And then the bass, I'm mainly using plastics, just a wacko worm. Wacky rigged with just a small single hook. And then actually, you know, this time of year I start throwing Castmasters quite a bit. And I feel like that's pretty, you know, underutilized out there. It works really good for me. I catch a lot of big walleyes on it every year in bass. You know, it's just a spoon. You throw it out and you jig it back to the boat, and I catch a lot of fish doing that. We just started using them a couple days ago, so that bite's a lot of fun.
You know, that's one of those baits that just is underutilized in my shop, too. You know, I have them on the shelf, yep. and every year I say, well, I should probably put them away because so many guys think of them as a winter bait, you know, and
yep,
they should
yeah,
be.
It's amazing. I mean, they're great baits. It doesn't look like much, you know, it's just a plain spoon. You think, you know, you'd have to tip it or something, but you don't. You know, that flutter, it's got that special flutter when it drops. And those fish just love it. I mean, I think I caught more walleyes on a Castmaster last summer on the bay than any other bait combined. I mean, they love it.
Yep. But you got, you know, with this dirty water, you got to wait for it to either clear up or you got to hit them on the nose with it most of the time, don't you?
Yep, you do. In the shallows, I won't use them now. But, you know, in the middle of the bay, it's clear enough where they'll see it. You know, just use a little brighter color, you know, chartreuse or orange. And they'll definitely see it. And what's nice, too, with that, you never know what you're going to catch on it. I mean, I've got trout on it, pike, bass. I mean, it catches everything.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. You know, that's the exciting thing about Shawangan Bay. You just never know what you're going to catch out here.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I got a funny story. About 3 days ago, I was up off Oak Point fishing real shallow in about 3 feet of water. We were throwing a little swim bait. And cut a 21-inch splake up there. You know, the water temp was 70 degrees. I don't know what that thing was doing up there, but that was kind of cool. Nice surprise, anyway.
You know, that's kind of neat. You know, that's typical of this bay is you just don't know what you're going to catch.
Nope, it could be anything. They're all over.
Yeah, yeah.
You ever have that happen, Josh, where you were fishing for bass and you hooked a muskie or something like that?
Oh yeah, quite a bit. You know, on the inland lakes, that happens a lot where we're reeling in a small bass and a muskie grabs it. You know, it's one of those deals you probably got a 20% chance of landing them without breaking off or the fish letting go. But 2 years ago, we actually landed 4 muskies reeling bass in just, you know, by not horsing them and getting them in the boat. But last year, I think we had 2 or 3 muskies on. We didn't land any of them. So it's one of those deals. But it does happen quite a bit.
Yeah, and you know, you had filmed a show with Gillespie this spring where you had gotten a big sturgeon in the boat too when you were fishing bass, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I was back in Stancut. That was just my second cast of the day, and I hooked that fish. And, you know, it was hooked in the mouth. I highly doubt, sturgeon grabbed it. I was using a jerkman on a jig. I just think I just got lucky and somehow snagged him in the mouth. But that was a long fight.
Yeah.
It's crazy how many sturgeon are out there. They're jumping like crazy, you know. I mean, every time out, I'm probably seeing 30 to 40 of them, you know, jumping out of the water.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. You fish for sturgeon, Josh?
You know, I have a couple times in April, but I've never done it much. I mean, I think I've done it one or twice. Caught a couple. It's fun. I mean, they fight hard. I should take the time and do it more. There's some big ones out there.
Yeah, you got the spare time to do that, though, you know? You're probably one of the busiest guys out here, though.
Yeah, it's good to stay busy, but that is the downside to it. You know, I can't experiment as much as I'd like to, you know, go for big pike out there, sturgeon. You know, I'm usually doing bass or walleye, so I got to stay on those, but I'll find the time sooner or later.
Yeah. Let me know when you can figure out how to get that spare time, you know, add a few extra hours on to the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Days are long this time of year.
Yeah.
Well, Josh, anything else?
Nothing else I can think of. That's about it.
Well, good deal. Well, thank you so much for joining us. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Best way is just to call me. My number is 715-813-0575.
Josh, thank you so much for the time.
Yeah, Josh
thank
Deegan.
You.
Yeah, thanks, Josh.
Welcome back to the Shawamigan Bay Fishing Report. Scott Breading here, as well as myself, Trevor Ray.
Just had Josh Teagan on. Josh sounds like he's had a pretty nice summer so far out on Shawamigan Bay.
You know, Josh is a heck of a guy, and he just, you know, he hits the water hard, and he's out there fishing all the time, and he's probably one of the most versatile guys. He's hitting inland lakes throughout the area, and he's out here in the bay fishing bass all the time. He does a show probably every 3 months with John Gillespie, and so he's pretty active in the area and promoting the fishing going on out here in the bay. And it's just interesting talking with Josh. And he just he's constantly teaching of what's going on with the bay out here, and if you ever get a chance to talk with him, he's just a delightful guy to talk to, young but a lot of experience, and I'll tell you, I've never had anybody that's gone out with Josh that hasn't come back and just said they just enjoyed their day with them on the water. So if you ever get a chance to hire Josh to go fishing, I recommend it. You know, if you get a chance to looking for a guide to go fishing with, you know, look Josh up. He's on our list of guides that we have at River Rock, and take a look at him. We got a good list of guides, and everybody that's on our guide list are guides that are credentialed guides that hold their captain's license out here. All of them went through the Coast Guard course, and they all have the proper credentials to be guiding on Lake Superior, which means that they went through the captain's courses and they all have the proper insurances. I make sure that we have that on record at River Rock. So, and that's kind of very important to have out here is to make sure that they're safe and have the proper equipment. But, you know, there's several guys out here that are guiding out here, and just make sure you do a good background check on them when you do hire a guide, and that you're going to have a good experience with them.
How hard is it to get your captain's license?
You know, it's a challenge. It's a good course to take, and it all depends how far you want to take it. There's different levels that you can get. I hold a master's captain of a 1-ton boat. I can captain a 1-ton craft that I'm licensed for. So anything 1-ton or 100-ton rather. I'm sorry, 100-ton or less, I can legally captain and take without license throughout the Coast Guard, throughout the United States, and waters throughout the United States. So it gives me the credentials to do that. Every 5 years, I have to renew that. And every 5 years, I have to renew my license. I have to also be retested every 5 years with the 100-ton. If you do a standard six-pack license or the Shawangan Bay license, they don't have to retake the test. They just have to redo their medical card and pay a relicensing fee. So they just have and then fill out a experience that they've been on the water and maintaining experience on the water.
What's a 100-ton vessel?
100-ton? I would think that a ferry is a 100-ton. So
a boat like of that size. Caliber.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So you could captain anything up to about that size.
Yep. Now, it's up to their insurance carrier too. You'd have to get experience on it. You'd have to be probably first mate for quite a while before they'd allow you to be a captain in charge on that, something like that.
So you're not gonna give up the bait shop and go drive the ferry up at Madeline Island anytime? Is that what you're saying?
No time soon on that. But you know, I have a lot of hours captaining 40-foot boats and I have a 27-foot boat that I chartered for quite a few years, and I fish on quite a bit. And, you know, a lot of it's experience. I'll tell you, a lot of it is smaller boats are a little bit more of a handful than the bigger boats. And a lot of it's keeping your head and understanding the water. It's understanding what the seas do to the craft and handling it in rough water. So it's really understanding the rules of the road. It's understanding the lights. It's understanding navigation. But most of it's common sense. A lot of it is going to go in one ear and out the other. You're going to refer back to your books, manuals, and charts before you're going to probably second guess yourself on a lot of that, because there's so much information out there. But you're gonna at least understand it, read it, and know it, or know where to look for it when you have to know it, and understand that, you know, there's waters that have tides, there's waters that have certain markers that you should be aware of hazards. So that's a big thing of having a captain's license, is to understand that there's rules, regulations, and being able to understand that kind of stuff. So You know, a little bit back to fishing. You know, last week we had a DNR meeting with the local DNR to talk a little bit about Lake Superior and its fishery. Like to see more people get involved in that. There was not a lot of people that came to the meeting. We need to get more people to show up to those meetings. I'm not sure how to do that. I think we'll try to push more of that. During summer, it's a little tougher to get people involved because just people have their evenings are just busy with other things. But just out of interest, you know, the DNR is looking at doing some changes to how they're going to manage the beavers on some of the local streams. They're going to go back to allowing beavers to go wild in some of the streams. Kind of a backwards thinking, I think, in some areas. Some areas where the beavers have been controlled, they're going to let them build dams and not control them where they've been controlled for quite a few years. There were people there that had worked for the DNR for years and have retired and said that's kind of a backwards way of thinking because they had controlled them for years. And the beavers are, without being controlled, can create a lot of damage and wash out roads, plug up culverts. They don't interact real well with mankind anymore. It's kind of a, depends who you are and how you want to argue it. Sure, the beavers were here before we were. Some people want to look at it that way. Other people want to say, well, times have changed, so they need to be controlled. Well, I don't know. It there's an argument on both sides, but if we want fish to come up Lake Superior streams and be able to naturally reproduce in the streams, the beaver will block those streams off and create a barrier so the fish will not be able to go up those streams. That's proven technology, or proven through technology and studies. So if that's allowed to happen, we may lose some habitat and may lose some of our spawning areas for salmon and native browns that are going to be going upstream if the beaver are allowed to not be controlled.
Why did they change their course on that?
They are going to see or study it and see what's going to happen. They're not 100% sure that the previous studies were accurate. I'm a little bit skeptical because these previous scientists or biologists that had studied it were there to argue and say, hey, we did it for 20 years and proved that beavers needed to be controlled because they silt in ponds and after 5 years they block off what native fish come up the lake to spawn in those rivers and go back out in the lake, like the browns and the salmon.
Well, I don't need a study. If you walk a stream and you see an old beaver dam sitting there, you can see the puddle, the pond that's pooled up beneath it, and how it's just nasty, dirty water sitting there. So I don't understand.
It's an impassable barrier.
And that's what it is.
But there's some new biologists that think that we need to start off at square one, and they need to change how they're looking at it and start a new study. I don't understand it. I guess let's go back to school and start over again. I don't know. I don't understand it. But we need more people involved. We need more people to come to those meetings and see what's going on and question it and get involved, because it's going to affect our fishery and our feeder system to the lake. And it's all along Lake Superior. And these guys are making some of the decisions. And without our group, our sport fishing groups being involved in going to these meetings. These people are making the decisions without input from the sportsmen, and if our numbers aren't there to voice their opinion, the biologists are making these decisions based on a very few people's input, and we need more people to show up to these meetings to have input.
You were at the meeting last week. Anything else that came from that meeting?
You know, they give a very broad brush over the current status. There is a lot of new people that are involved in the decision-making process. They're not elected officials, they're hired officials. So if you don't like what these hired officials are saying, we need to get to the elected officials and tell them what you want the DNR to do with our tax dollars on these streams, because you're buying the licenses and these guys are spending our license fees on trying to improve our resource, and we need to be somewhat involved in that decision making. And right now there's a lot of new people involved, and those new people need to understand what us as sportsmen, our experiences are, and what we want to see out here. And I think what we want to see is a good resource that's going to last out here for us as sportsmen for a lot of long years to come.
And that is where your license dollars goes. It's supposed to go back to the preservation and keep the upkeep of the natural resources that are in the state, and they have no issues raising those license fees.
Yeah, exactly.
And those get raised every other year, it seems like. And so that's the easiest way, is just to go and make your voice heard, is if you don't like what you're seeing out there, or if you do like what you're seeing out there, it's still nice to let people know, and the DNR especially, let them know what you want done.
And there's articles on social media. Read those articles. We get it on our Apostle Island Sport Fishing page. We get it on River Rock's Facebook page. So there's a lot of information out there on what's going on. Don't be afraid to comment on it, and let people know what your opinions are, so you can be heard. And show up to those meetings so voices are heard.
When would be, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, next meeting, anything that if people wanted to join, you mentioned the sports fishing group that you're a part of. If somebody wanted to join or just wanted more information, how can they get a hold of that?
We have it on the Apostle Island Sport Fishing page, how to join. And we also have the River Rock page is also a link to that Apostle Island Sport Fishing page. So riverrockin.net will get you to the Apostle Island Sport Fishing page also.
Perfect. So that's a couple ways that you can just go. If you want more information, that's the best way to do it. And, of course, just they can always stop down into River Rockin and Bait Shop, I'm sure, and people can get them directed where they need to be.
Correct.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Scott, anything else?
No. Have a safe 4th of July. It's going to be a nice couple days. We got a lot going on. We got a great parade in Ashland coming up, and fireworks coming up. And if you see a service member, thank them for everything they've done for this country.
Please do that. Get on the water, do some fishing. Just go have fun. Have fun. It's going to be a beautiful week. Get outside.
Hey, thank you. Thanks, Trevor.
Scott, thank you so much. That's the Schwamigan Bay Fishing Report. We'll be back next Tuesday from 6 till 7 on Real Rock J96.